Good morning, everybody. Okay, today's daf is daf lamed in Menachos one chavtes. We started the sugya of Hilchos Tam, how to write a sefer Torah, how to write tefillin, how to write mezuzos. We are going to continue in the discussion today. It's going to continue for a while. We'll be in Hilchos Tam for a while. So we started the Gemara yesterday, where the Gemara was commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you write two parshiyos in the mezuzah, and the two parshiyos are necessary. And afilu ksav echad ma'akvan, and even if you miss out one letter, so it's ma'akev. So the Gemara asks the basic question on the Mishnah: well, you leave out one letter. I don't need a Mishnah in Menachos to tell me that if you leave out a letter, it's no good. Leaving out a letter, of course, it's no good. So the Gemara says pshita. The Gemara says it's so obvious. So the Gemara says that we were talking about kotzo shayud. We're talking about the little thorn of the yud, the tail of the yud, if you will. So which tail is that? So I mentioned yesterday, it's machlokes between Rashi and his grandson. Rabbi Natan, exactly which tail are we talking about? We're talking about the tail that protrudes on the bottom right. According to Rabbi Natan, he contends that there was a minog to make a little tail on the bottom left side of the yud. Okay, brought my pen today. So I'm not a sofer, not even close. So the Gemara says, okay, either way, it's still pashut. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe we're talking about the halacha of mukaf gvil. The halacha of mukaf gvil is that when you write a letter, you need parchment all around the letter, meaning you can't write a letter and there not be some sort of space around it. Okay? Again, I told you over here in the halacha of mukaf gvil, also there are two ways to understand this halacha of mukaf gvil. Either, number one, you actually need parchment all around, or the second option is, no, you just simply can't run into another letter. In other words, there has to be some sort of separation between this letter and the letter next to it. So then the Gemara says, well, first of all, what if you write a letter at the end of a piece of paper so it doesn't write? So there's no actual book of grill, right? And then the Gemara's question, which seems to relate to this question, is what if there's a nekiv in the hay? So in other words, you write the letter hay and there's a hole right in the center of the hay. I told you yesterday there are two pshatim and Rashi what that means. But let's just assume that we're discussing a scenario, the second pshat and Rashi, a hole right in the middle of the letter hay. So the Gemara says, that's fine, right?
Is a hole touching part of the hay?
Right. So if it is, even if it is, it supports that second pshat that we gave on Mukav Gvil, right? Because if Mukav Gvil just simply means I can't have letters running into one another, so if I put a hole, and even if the hole's touching the actual letter itself, it should be fine. Okay, so again, a lot of discussion. I'm just quickly reviewing what we saw yesterday. Okay, and what if the hole is actually in the letter itself? So in other words, it actually breaks, let's say, the right leg of the hay. The right leg of the hay. So the Gemara says, well, as long as you have a little bit of leg left, you'll be fine. How much is a little bit? So the Gemara says, Ketana, size of a yud. If you have a letter size of a yud, that would be fine. And then we got to the top of the next Amud, Chavtes Amud Beis, where there the Gemara says that this actually happened, Maisa Shahaya, where there was a psak, there was an actual break in the leg of the letter hey, of the word ha'am, and they went to Rabbi Abba, and Rabbi Abba says, that's the halacha. Halacha is that if you have a little letter left over, little letter meaning yud, so then it's kosher, then it's still fine. Okay, in the Gemara now we're in Chavtes Amud Beis, and we're going to continue. Rami Bar Tamre, okay, it's four lines down. Dahu Chamua de Rami Bar Dikula, okay, father-in-law of Rami Bar Dikula. Okay, so a woman married a man after, not only, it looks like her father, named after her father as well. Ifsikale kari devav, deviyaha rog, benikva. So now there was a break in the letter vav, and the word vayaha rog, and there was a nekev, there was a little hole over there. And so now, here it's going to be a little trickier, because as opposed to a hay, even though there's a little break in the letter hay, but you recognize the letter hay, meaning a hay is a hay, even if there's a break in it, but there's enough letter remaining so that it's very identifiable that that's the letter hay. Problem with the letter vav is that if you shorten a vav, short vav looks like a yud. So here's the problem, because here in Nekev, it's not just that there's a hole in the letter, it actually may change the look of the letter to a different letter. Instead of a vav, now it's going to be yud. So this is going to be an issue. And obviously, right. And obviously, the vav is it means a chibur, it's a connection, it's an and, it's a conjunction. And the yud obviously is not.
The hole in the yud was on the right side or the left side? The hole in the yud was on the right side.
No, no, no. The hole was in a vav.
No, I'm talking about above. It was not clear.
It was not clear what it was, what the remaining letter was, whether it was a vav or whether it was a yud. Watch the gemara. So kari devav dehari yag benik vasla kamed de Rabbi Zera. So they go to Rabbi Zera and they say to Rabbi Zera, what do we do now? So amale ezil aisi yunuka. So here the people know this Gemara, but people take the Gemara way out of context, right? The Gemara says, get a child and let's see if the child can read it, right? I know that's, you know, the minhag of Gabayim. now that I'm officially one, but you know, they get a child, but no, it's people take it out of context and perhaps use it more often than more often than allowed. Here in this particular context, you'll see why a child is necessary. So he says, get a child. First of all, I don't want the child to be too smart. I don't want him to be too dumb. Okay, why not too smart? Why not too dumb? So Rashi explains both. Rashi says, I don't want him to be too smart because, second line down in Rashi, look, if he understands Diktuk and he understands how to read Chumash and he understands what he's saying, he'll look at the word and just out of context, just because he understands what it's saying, oh, he'll say right away, it can't be Yehareg, right? It's got to be Vayaharog. So you don't want him to know that. So in other words, so we don't want him to be too smart. On the other hand, we don't want him to be too dumb. Rashi says very simply, Shim Tipish in the Yodele Kros Elah Shlema, meaning because we want him to be able to, we don't want him to be that literal where the only thing he recognizes is the letter that was taught to him, you know, by in his cheder that he went to. So it was a lo chacham v'lo tipesh. So ikari levi yarok, kasher ilo yarok. So now that you got a child who is not too bright and not too dumb, and so now we're going to have him read it, and so now he could be the decider. But listen carefully though, because the only thing he's deciding is it a vav or is it a yud? That's the only thing he's deciding. Meaning it's for sure a letter, that's not the issue. The issue is which letter is it? Is it a vav or is it a yud? Now we're going to have the child decide whether or not we'll allow him to read it. So, okay, fine. So if he reads Vayarok, then it's kosher. But if he only reads Yehareg without the Vav, meaning he thinks that the first letter is also a Yud, it's a double Yud, and that's not so bizarre. We have it in Chumash, a double Yud. So Upasal, so then it would be Pasal. Okay. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Okay. The Gemara here is going to weave together Halach and Agadata so seamlessly, it's unbelievable. Meaning that, and by the way, I also noticed throughout these pages of Gemara, a lot of the Hilchos Tam come from Rav. Okay, I don't know what I don't know why that is, but now that I highlighted that for you, you're going to see as we go through the upcoming Gemara, it's going to be Rav, 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 or a Talmud of Rav quoting Rav. It's going to be a lot of Rav. Rav is, for whatever reason, a lot of the sources of Hilchos Tam. So and again, we also weave Agadata and Halacha side by side. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Rav B'Shar Shalom Moshe LaMarom. So Moshe went up to Marom, meaning to receive the Torah. Masal Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shiyoshev Kosher Ketarim LaOsios. So he sees Hakadosh Baruch Hu is kosher. He's tying up little ksharim, little ties on the letters. I'm Alafan Rebbeinu Shalom Mime Akev Ayadcha. So Moshe's question is, what are you adding? What are you doing over there to the letter? In other words, you have letters. You have formed letters already. What are you adding to the letters? Rashi says, right, first of all, when we say ketar, when we say crowns on the Torah, what do we mean? So Rashi says, kagona tagin the Sefer Torah. We're talking about the tagin. Okay, tagin are crowns on the Sefer Torah. You'll notice that you'll open up a Sefer Torah and you'll find that some letters have tagin, some letters have crowns on them. Right, when you open up a Chumash, you're not going to see them because the Chumash is not written with, you know, with Hilchos Tam in mind. Chumash is just written with block letters. But when you open up a Sefer Torah and you're going to actually see Hilchos Tam at play, so you're going to see tagin, you're going to see crowns on the Torah. We'll talk about which letters, how many tagin in just a moment. But anyway, Moshe's question is, Mima Akev Al Yadcha, Rashi says, "Masha kasafta shata tzarich lahosif od aleim k'tarim." Like, it seems like you're adding. From this comment of Rashi, it seems like, it's not a big issue, it seems like the Tagin are not really part of the letter. Right? In other words, it seems that the Tagin are a hosafa, they're an addition to the letter, and it's not actually part and parcel of the letter.
Meaning that the sofer can write them in after?
Meaning that the sofer can write them in afterwards. Meaning, what if it doesn't have Tagin? Right? What if the sofer wrote a Sefer Torah without Tagin? Is the Sefer Torah kosher? Okay, so it sounds, I mean, I'm just pointing to one Rashi. There's a lot of support in either direction as to whether it is or is not part of the letter. Okay, but it certainly sounds like this is a hosafa, this is an addition to the letter, these tagin. So, Moshe asks the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mi ma'akav e'adcha, amalo adam echad yeshasi lios b'sof kama doros. Akiva ben Yosef Shmo. So Kadosh Baruch Hu explains to Moshe, yeah, a number of generations from now there's going to be this individual, his name is Akiva ben Yosef, all right, I think we've heard of him. Sha'asa l'drosha kol kotz v'kotz tilin tilin shel halacha. So for every kotz, right, kotz o shel yud, like we started this morning, right, with every stem, with every crown, whatever you want to call it, so he's gonna darshan piles and piles of halacha. So the word till comes from the word tell. Tell is a pile, a mound. So mounds and mounds of halacha. So I'm alafan rabban shalom
hare olo. We have never seen that though.
And wait. First of all, this is a gadata. So I understand.
Never mentioned anything.
Totally understand your point. So hare olo. So I'd like to see him. I'd like an introduction. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, fine. I'm like chazur la'acharecha. Now, literally means turn around or turn back, and, you know, there's some sort of time machine, nechvesnisht. You understand. So halach v'yashav b'stosh shmona shiros v'lo hayayodeh ma'ahin omrim. So he's sitting in shir now, and Akiva ben Yosef is giving shir, Rabbi Akiva, that is, to us. And Moshe Rabbeinu has no idea what's going on. So v'lo hayayodeh ma'ahin omrim. So tashash kolcho. And, of course, Moshe at... he was a little depressed. He was a little bit down. Kevin shigila davar echad amr lo tamida Rebbe minayin lach. And so then they turn to Rebbe Akiva, one of the students there, and says, "Where did you get that from?" So amr lahen halach l'moshe misinai. So his answer is, "Yeah. What do you mean? I got it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Halach l'moshe misinai. Right? It's my answer very often. Right? Halach l'moshe misinai. It's yashav adato. So when Moshe heard that, so he had yishav adas. Okay, let's just finish the story and I'll come back and I'll try to explain this a little bit better. Obviously, it's very, very difficult to explain, difficult to understand. So, Chazar Balol Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is Moshe. I'm the fun of Ribbono Shel Olam, Yesh Lecha Adam Kazev, Atana Sein Torah Al Yadi. So, Moshe now shows off some of his humility and he says, wait a second, he's great and I'm not that great. And why would you give the Torah to me? Why would you not give the Torah through him? So I'm a lo shto kachala b'machshav lefanai. So Akash Baruch Hu says, "Look, that's my plan, right? I have my plan, and what are you going to do? You're going to critique on my plan?" So I'm a lo funer rebbeinu shalom harayseni Torah Torah harayni scharo. So the next step is Moshe says to Akash Baruch Hu, "Okay, good. I've seen his Torah, and now I'd like to see the schar that he gets." I'm a lo chazor chalacharecha. So again, Hashem says, "Okay, turn around." Chazor lacharav ra'ash shoklim b'sar b'makulin. So we all know the demise of Rebbe Akiva. We read about it twice a year. So he gets raked with iron rakes. Rashi says Makulin over here refers to iron rakes. So I'm a lafan of Samosha Rabbeinu says, "Now I totally don't understand. Zed Torah v'zus chara, right? That's the Torah. That's the reward for learning Torah. I'm a leish so kachalab b'machshav lafanai." And the Kadosh Baruch Hu has the same response. Look, that's my plan, and you may not understand my plan, but that's my plan. Okay. That is the Agadata. I think we're all familiar with this piece of Agadata. It's certainly one of the more popular pieces. Moshe didn't know what was going on, right? That's strange. Of course that's strange. Moshe didn't know what was going on, and then when asked Rabbi Akiva, "Where did you get that from?" and Rabbi Akiva's response is, "Well, what do you mean? Halacha Moshe Misinai." So Moshe says, "Oh, okay, good. Now I got it." Right? What did he understand? So it's interesting, by the way, because just on the simplest shot, look, the depths of this Gemara is unbelievable. This is obviously, there's tremendous profundity in this Gemara. There is much to discuss within this little piece of Gemara that we just learned. On the simplest level, right, Rashi, Rashi operates on a simple level. Rashi writes, "Nisyashva dato, ma mo." I'm sorry, Shamosha. Hol umishmo omer, afa pisha adayin lo kibla. Yet Rashi gives the simplest pshat, which is Moshe didn't get the Torah yet, and because Moshe didn't get the Torah yet, so of course they're sitting in shir, and he's hearing Torah being learnt, and he doesn't understand what's going on because he hasn't received the Torah yet. So, well, now, when they finally say to him, and by the way, Rashi's pshat, it's so simple. It's so, right? It's like, you know, you don't, it's, and it's, of course, so, because if you go back to the give and take, the exchange between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe, Moshe says, why don't you give the Torah through him? Meaning that he hasn't received the Torah yet. So if he hasn't received the Torah yet, so of course he's going to sit in shir and he's not going to know what's going on because he hasn't received the Torah yet. He doesn't know what the Torah is yet. So okay, good. So that's, and when they say it's halacha la Moshe Misinai, now Moshe understands, I'm going to receive the Torah, and when I do, I'll understand everything that I'm hearing here in shir. Okay, it's such a simple pshat. It's again, I'm not
asking why he was asking God why he's putting crowns on the Torah, because if he didn't get the Torah, why would he ask? How would he know to ask?
Right, because apparently Moshe knew what a letter was.
Yeah, okay.
Apparently, and then the Tagin are this some sort of hosafa, and then we get back to Hedy's point, which I don't really know, and that is, you know, we've been sitting in shir together for a while. Right, the group of us, and you know, when have we ever expounded a crown of the Torah?
Yeah,
yeah, I haven't done it yet. Right, and we've been doing this. We've been doing this for a while.
We're making Epicurum. They make such a bad thing about this. You know, I'm so happy you told us.
Really. Okay, so good. So all right, let's go back to the Gemara. So, okay, I'm a shtokachalam. Okay, I'm a rabba. Shibi osi otzarch tzricho shlosha ziyunim. Okay, the Tag goes by another name. It goes by a Zion. Okay, why? Because a Zion, if you look the shape of a Zion, now you can just look in your Gemara and you can see the way the Zion is written in a Sefer Torah, because in Tosfos he's got many different Zions. Zion is just simply a block on top and a. And I was going to say a line going down, but in Hilchos Tam, it's not a line. It's a, what's the shape of it, like a diamond? Whatever. The Tag on the top of a letter looks like a Zion. So you'll see that sometimes the Gemara refers to a Tag, the crown, as a Zion. So Shiva Osios, and when you get to the seven letters of the Torah, Tzricho Shlosha Ziyunim. So it needs three Tagin on the letter. How exactly do you formulate the three Tagin? So you can look at Tosfos right now, and you can see that it's subject to a number of opinions. Two on the top, one going down, right? Three on the top, but spreading out like a crown, looking somewhat like a crown. Okay, good. So subject to a debate exactly how to make the Tagin. Additionally, Ve'elohein, Shatnez Gatz. And then the seven letters are Shinayin Tes, Nun Zayin, Gimel Tzadi. Now, just a couple of notes. When it says Tzadi over here, obviously in the mnemonic you get the Tzadi Sofis, but it's true that both the regular Tzadi and the Tzadi Sofis, both the Nun and the Nun Sofis get the three Tag and get the three crowns. What the significance of these seven letters are, okay, so that is for people who know more than me. Okay, I don't have an explanation. Rashi writes, good question. Rashi writes, it's like almost I set you up. Rashi doesn't write it here. Rashi writes it other places that the point about the Tzadi Sofis and the Tzadi and the regular Tzadi, that is in Rashi over here. Rashi elsewhere writes that every time these letters appear in the Torah, they get a Tag, they get a crown. Not everybody agrees to Rashi. Some people say that much like there's a Mesorah in terms of letters missing, letters added, right, there's a whole, right, in terms of trop is also a Mesorah. There's also a Mesorah towards the Tagin as well. Right, can you imagine, that's some unbelievable Mesorah. Which letters get a Tag, which letters don't get a Tag. Anyway, our minhag is, we do it on every time these letters come up in Chumash. Amar Rav Ashi Chazin Ala Safra Davkani, Debei Rav, Dechachalu Lagag Deches. Okay, more Hilchos Tam. So Rav Ashi says, I've seen The Sofrim Davkanim, Sofrim who are meticulous, they are punctilious in terms of how they write of Debei Rav. Now here at Debei Rav, by the way, contrary to my theory in the beginning of today's daf that everything comes from Rav, or a lot of it comes from Rav, Debei Rav could just simply mean yeshiva. It doesn't have to mean the house of Rav. So anyway, Dechatru L'Legage Deches, what they would do is that they would put a choter on the roof of the ches. So the ches, of course, we all know, it's right line on top, two lines going down on each side. They would put a choter on the roof. Now, what is a choter? So Rashi says, Rashi over here does not explain the letter, the choter. Rashi over here doesn't say. Choter, the hump of a camel sometimes is referred to as a choter. Some sort of hump on the top of the letter ches. Vitalule, so let's pause over here just a moment. Okay, so how do you make the letter ches? Okay? So the Gemara over here describes some sort of choter on the top of the ches. So look at Tosfos. The one after the Zion Tosfos, the next one, the Chachir Lagagi Deches. Tosfos writes, Pesh Bekonsha Sheigbiya Regal Shema'alu Shoches Ad Lamala Kizeh. Okay? So according to Rashi, you're right, two lines going down, I'm not a sofer, and then a line going up, and according to Rashi, that's the Choter. Right? That's the hump on the letter Ches. Just wait. Here's the hump of the camel. And Rabbeinu Tam says no. Right? A lot of times we're going to find Rabbeinu Tam saying no to his grandfather. In the course of this discussion, he says no. That is not correct. It is not a hump like that, but rather the ches is like a camel. Camel has a hump right in the center. According to Rabbeinu Tam, what the ches basically is, it's a Zion, and then some sort of connector on the top. That's, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's what a ches is. A ches is really two Zions. Now, the Gemara, let me finish the Tosfos. Come on, the Chatarta, the Gemara, the Bam, the Kazel. Perish a conscious, lo yisashiv kokach, ha-darmina besof abonah. Now I'll tell you what, Rabbeinu Tam is going to have an easier time with the Gemara and Shabbos than his grandfather Rashi. Why? Because what does the Gemara in Shabbos tell us? Kigon shenalu legago shalches va'asa shnei zaynim. You know, on Shabbos, kosev, writing a letter on Shabbos is one of the 39 malachos, right? And it's not just writing one letter, right? The halach is you got to write two letters, okay? So kosev shtei osios. That is one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos. The Gemara over there says, what if I just remove the top of the ches in order to create two Zions? According to Rabbeinu Tam, you hear the Gemara really well. Right? The Gemara makes a lot of sense because according to Rabbeinu Tam, it just simply means that's the ches right there. And all I did was I just erased that middle part and I then created two Zions. According to Rashi, it's a little trickier. You really don't have a ches, it's just one flat roof on the top. It's harder. It's harder to hear the Gemara. And Shabbos, Rabbeinu Tam just leaves it off. Look, I think I'm right, and I think this is the way that you form a ches. Back to the Gemara. So, Vitalu Leila Kari Dehe. The Chachu Leila Gaga Deches. Vitalu Leila Kari Dehe. And when you make the letter Hey, that left hand side of the hay, it hangs. It's left hanging, meaning it's not connected. Right? We're all familiar. Now, Chachur L'Gagi Deches Klamer Chayhu B'Ram Sha'olam. Now, here the Gemara gives away some of the secrets of the osios, of the letters, just some. So when it comes to the letter Ches, so we want a choter, we want a hump in the middle of the Ches, okay? Like Rashi, like Rabbi Natam. Whichever way it does, what does it speak to? What's the idea that it speaks to? Is Chayhu Beruma Sha'olam. The Kosh Baruch Hu is Beruma Sha'olam. He's in the high parts of the world, right? The letter Ches actually means Chai. He lives. Okay? So he lives Beruma Sha'olam. V'talu Lekar Dehei. Now, how do you understand that when the hay, you leave a hanging left leg of the hay? So, Kedabai Minei Rabbi Yehudin Siyami Rabbi Yami. Ma'idich Siyav Bitchuba Hashem Adei Ad. Ki Bekar Hashem Tzor Alamim. right? Focus on the word ki bitka, yud k, right? The letter yud, the letter hey. So amalei kol atola bitchana b'karosh baruch hu harei lo mechze ba'olam hazeh v'olam hava. If you have bitachon, if you have trust and confidence in the karosh baruch hu, so he will serve as a mechze, as a covering for you, as a shelter for you in this world and the world to come. So amalei anahachi kakashali. So he says, no, I get that part, right? Bitachon, right? I don't need the bitachon shmuz. Here's the part I don't understand. So hakakashali, maisha dechsev b'ka v'loksev ka. What does it mean, b'ka? Right? In HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just simply say, the passage is just right. Ki ka Hashem tzor alamim, Kadosh Baruch Hu is my rock. Right? So, ki tedarosh Rav Yehuda bar Yilai, elu shnei olam shebar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Echad behe ve'echad beyud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created two worlds. He created this world and he created the next world. Olam hazeh and olam haba. So, and he created one of them with a yud and one of them a hey. Right? The Ramban, in the beginning of his parish on Chumash, he writes that letters are the, if you will, the genetic code of this world. Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu actually created the world with letters. The osios of Lashon HaKodesh, the Ramban actually writes, that's why it's called Lashon HaKodesh. It's called Lashon HaKodesh because the Kadosh Baruch Hu actually created the world with the letters. So using the Yud, he created one of the worlds, and using the Hey, he created the other world. And what I don't know is, the Gemara says, which one's which? Meaning, Yud was for this world, Yud was for the next world, which one's which? The Eini Yodei Im Ha'olam Haba B'Yud V'Olam HaZeh Behei Im Ha'olam HaZeh B'Yud V'Olam Haba Behei. So I don't know which one went where. So, and that's the Pshat in the Pasuk, meaning now when you go back to the Pasuk, Ki Bikha, using the Yud and using the Hei, right, Sur Olamim, he fashioned worlds. Right, it really is. It's very good Pshat in the Pasuk. Okay, but now we have to ascertain which one's which. Keshu Omeila told us Hashemayim Varz Bihi Baram. So we go back now to the beginning of Chumash Perek Beis and Bereishis. And it says, these are the Toldos Hashemayim Va'aretz Bihi Baram. Al Tikre Bihi Baram Ela Behe Baram. So now we have unbelievable pshat in the second Perek of Bereishis. It's Behe Baram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it with the Hey. Now, simple process of elimination. If it created this world using the hay, so the next world, the olam haba, he created with a yud. The world over here is like an achsadra, right? Achsadra pavilion, meaning it's right. It's there's no right. What's the nature of achsadra? Is that it doesn't have walls. It's, you know, you can walk in, you can walk out, you can walk in, you can walk out. A pavilion.
That's a color.
It's like a gazebo.
It's like a gazebo. Thank you. That's a good one. Right? You ever go to Meisner Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know the gazebo right in the middle? That's it. So it's meaning you can walk in, you can walk out, right? Right? What does that mean? It means bechira chavshis, meaning as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, the only thing, right, we all have free choice. So this world, what's the nature of this world? Behei, meaning if a person wants to keep Torah mitzvahs, he can. If he doesn't want to keep Torah mitzvahs, right, it's his choice. He has that bechira, he has the right. Well, my time atalia karei. So now that you know that this world is created with the hay, and the whole concept of the hay is that you can walk in and out. And you have Bechir Chavshis, so now we can understand the hanging left leg. Right? What is that? The Hadar B'Tshuva Ma'al Yalei. Oh. So now there's a new opening for those who want to be Chozer B'Tshuva. So that if you leave, right, through the bottom, you have a way to come back in, and that's the entrance on the left-hand side. Now, cool. The Gemara then says, Ula Ayol Behach. I don't understand. Why don't you just go back in through the bottom? Maybe. If you left through the bottom, go back in through the bottom. Lo mistaya milsa. So the Gemara says, no, you can't go back in the way you came out. Okay. I know what I'm saying is deep, even though I don't fully understand this. Kidereish lakish, damereish lakish, my dichsivim amleitzim hu yalitz, ula anavim yitain chain. The pasuk says in Mishle, Immolatesim who yalitz. If a person wants to be a latz, if he wants to be a clown, if he wants to be a joker, Kadosh Baruch Hu will help him along. Ula anavim yitain chain. But for an anav, for someone who's humble and unassuming, Yitain chen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give chen. Balatayim istayin osa balatayim epos chen lo. So if a person wants to be mitayir, so misayin lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu assists him, and balatame, but if a person wants to become tame, post chen lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens the door for him. Now it's interesting, by the way, I don't know, I don't remember who told me this. It's such a great shot, right? Habal attire, if a person wants to be tahar, that's obviously good, meaning tahara, kedusha, coming close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, misayin lo, Kadosh Baruch Hu helps, meaning a Kadosh Baruch Hu will actually give you like a little push. If you want to be metame, it doesn't say Kadosh Baruch Hu misayin lo,
right.
It just simply says a Kadosh Baruch Hu is poseach. He opens the door for you. You'll walk out on your own, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't push you out. But if you want to come back in, a Kadosh Baruch Hu will push you in. Okay, good. So Latame Poskan Law, my Tame is late. I'm sorry. Messiah or so Balatame Poskan Law. Okay, so I don't fully understand this, but I do understand that there's depth to this, unbelievable depth to it. So that opening on the left hand side of the hay, because when you decide with your Bechir Chavshi that you're gonna leave, so you're gonna drop out the bottom. Okay? It's a one way street.
Yeah.
Right? Easy to get out, not that easy to come back in. Okay, and the flow over there is going out, so you can't go back in. So you got to go in from the side. That's why the letter of the hay has to be talia, it has to be hanging, it has to be suspended to leave an opening so that the chozer b'tshuva can go back in through the side of the hay. Umaitami islay tagam. Okay, and now there's a tag. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu im chozer ani koshlo kesher. Because if he's a chozer b'tshuva, so that I'm going to time a kesher. Now it's interesting, it says over here that the hay has a tag. So you go back up to the Gemara and you'll notice it's not one of the seven letters. Okay, so now, right, these tagin, these crowns, the seven letters are the letters that get three tagin. So the hay only has one tag. That's why it's not counted as one of the seven. Okay, now we've explained why this world is created with the hay. Now we're going to explain why the next world is created with a yud. There's not a lot of tzaddikim in Olam Haba. Okay, so it doesn't need as large a location as the hay is. It's not that refreshing, I have to tell you. It's not right. Now, why is it bent over? The yud is kind of hunched over. It's more a horizontal than it is a vertical. So why? Again, not such refreshing information, but the tzaddikim over there, their heads are like bent over because of ma'aseh, because of their actions. What does that mean? They're tzaddikim. Shouldn't they be proud of their actions? Why are they bent over? So Rashi explains, because what happens in Olam Haba is you see the real worth of people, and all of a sudden you're looking around and you realize, oh my gosh, he has more worth than I do, and I could have been that. Rashi writes, Rashi writes beautifully, succinctly, that it's the busha, it's the embarrassment. I could have been there, and meanwhile I'm here. And okay, so much, you're right. it's humbling. Okay.
Hag is very hard to imagine. I mean, it's at the bottom, there's an opening.
Right.
But so how people stay in?
Because in our concept, I was just about to say that. In our concept of the hay, so we're thinking gravity, and the gravity's pulling down, and you know, I'm not sure if we could take our physical laws of this world and apply it to the letters of the to the osios. Okay, I'm Rav Yosef. Hani talked to Emilia. I'm a Rav. It's far in Vitanya to Yufta. Two halachas that Rav said that, and there's a lot more than two. But there are two halachas that Rav said in Hilchos Tam and Tanya to Yufta. But I'm going to show you brisas that show you that Rav is incorrect about his two statements. Now, as Tosfos here points out, the first statement that Rav is going to say, that's going to be challenged and refuted. And by the way, we get back to the discussion that we've had many times before. Rav Tano Palig, Rav can argue with brisos. Why the Gemara doesn't just simply say that over here? Okay, the Gemara is not fundamental about Rav Tano Palig. Meaning, sometimes the Gemara says it, sometimes the Gemara doesn't say it. Okay, and Tosfos makes the observation over here that the second halacha of Rav will not really be refuted. Okay, so even here, right? Only one halacha of Rav is really, if you will, not accepted. Let's say you have a Sefer Torah that has a lot of mistakes. Every daf, every column has got two mistakes. Okay. Not the end of the world, go and correct it. Now we're talking about a Sefer Torah, right? We'll learn more about this later when it comes to tefillin and mezuzah. There's no corrections, right? Once there's a mistake, that's it, you're done. There's a halacha of lichis nidran. Mm-hmm. Tefillin and mezuzahs have to be written in the right order. You can't just simply go there, erase, and make amends. In a Sefer Torah, you don't have the halacha of lichis nidran. So if there are mistakes, so you just take out your eraser, you erase, and you repair. In a Sefer Torah, if each daf has two mistakes, so you taken. Shalosh, but if each daf of a Sefer Torah has got three mistakes or more, obviously, yiganez. At that point in time, don't correct the Sefer Torah, put the Sefer Torah in Geniza. Okay, we'll understand the halacha in just a moment, but before we do that, the Braisa. V'tanya to Yufte, the Braisa challenges. Shalosh yitakein arba yiganez. Now, by the way, Rav is only wrong about the numbers, meaning the concept Rav is totally right about. It's just the numbers that the Braisa argues with him. Three and four is what the Braisa says. Okay, Tana. And even in this halacha, im yesh bo daf achashlema matzela sakulo, of all the dafim, let's say there are four mistakes on every daf, except for one daf. One column doesn't have mistakes. That one column saves the rest of the Torah. So you don't have to put the Torah in Geniza. Now, when we say that this one column is mistake-free, do we mean literally mistake-free, or means three or less? The Gemara's next question. What if that daf has three mistakes? Mitzkan. So the Gemara says, okay, as long as you can correct that daf is considered corrected. This is all true regarding chaseros. Aval yaseros leislan ba. But if the issue is yaseros, so then don't worry about numbers 3, 4, 5, 6. Numbers don't matter when it comes to yaseros. Okay, I'll do this quickly. We have a concept of chaseros and yaseros. You know that when you write words in Hebrew, so there is no vocalization, there's no vowels in the Hebrew alphabet. Right? Sometimes the vav takes on the form of a vowel, but other than that, though, how do we know how to vowelize the words, to vocalize the words? So, the kudos, right? The little dots. But in the Sefer Torah, though, those are not written. That's part of the Mesorah. That's part of the tradition. They're not written in. Sometimes when you write letters when you write words in the Sefer Torah, sometimes there's a vav there to show you vocalization. Sometimes there is no vav over there. Right? Sometimes a yud. Sometimes there is no yud. Okay, so how do we know? So the answer is Mesorah. We know it through tradition. You go to the Gemara in Kedushin, Chavtes Lamed, somewhere about there. And the Gemara over there says that we are not bikinan, we are not baki in chaseros v'yaseros. We're not expert. So even though we have a Sefer Torah that we use nowadays, we're not expert in this process of adding a vav, not adding a vav. Okay, we're not expert. Okay, but we have a basic Mesorah. This idea of mistakes being correct in a Sefer Torah, and this concept that if you have four or five mistakes in a daf, and that's true by every daf, right? You got to dispose. Put the Sefer Torah in Geniza. That's only if the mistake is such where basically we're going to have to actually add letters in. But if the issue is Yeseros, and that only means now that all I got to do is just erase that one letter, Leislan ba, that's no problem. And now finally, after all this, the Gemara explains to us what's the issue. Chaseros my time alo, Am Rav Kahana Mishum de Mechze Kimenumar. The problem is that when you sit there and start making corrections and emendations, So it's going to start looking spotted. It's going to start looking like a leopard. Right? Menumar means a leopard. Right? And it's just, it's going to, and therefore why? It's not going to be nice looking. It's not going to be muhudar. It's not going to be attractive. Now it's interesting because the Gemara over here says that if you get to the point where the Sefer Torah starts looking menumar, it starts looking like this, Gonez, you have to put the Sefer Torah Geniza. Right? It sounds like this Hiddur mitzvah of having a Sefer looking nice can get to the point where if it's such a deficiency in Hiddur, you actually need to put it in Geniza. Okay. So, Geniza is...
Bury it.
Okay. Next, halacha number one of Rav, which the Gemara says is he's refuted by the Braisa, is Rav says 2 verses 3, 2 mistakes in every daf needs to be you can correct 3, you need to put in Geniza, and the Braisa says no, your numbers are 3 and 4 in every daf. Halacha number two, we're now on the top of daf Lamed Amar Al. Amar Rav Akos Sefer Torah Valig Mar Gomer Ve'afilu Bamsa Hadaf. What if you're running a Sefer Torah And you are getting to the end, so you can be gomer ve'afilu be'emza hadaf. You can finish it off right in the middle of the column. Meisvei the Gemara says hakosef sefer Torah balo ligmar lo yigmar be'emza hadaf kederech shegomer bechumashim. So the Braisa says you can't do that. Not like with a chumash. Now you understand that when we say chumash in the Gemara, we don't mean this, right? This is called the bound book. That's a new concept, bound books. They didn't write, they didn't have their bound books in the time of the Gemara. They had scrolls. So what do we mean when we say Chumash? So what they used to do is they used to write one of the 5 Sfarim, Reishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and they would go around carrying that one Sefer. That was called the Chumash. The word Chumash just simply means a fifth of the Sefer Torah. When you write a chumash, so then you can end, and you can end right in the middle of the column. Ela mekatzav aholech ad sof hadaf. However, in a Sefer Torah, you want the Sefer Torah to end at the bottom of a column. And you even justify, right? Now you know what that means. Everyone works with a Word document, right? In other words, you manipulate the column so that the Sefer Torah actually ends at the bottom of a column. Open up a Chumash, you'll look at the end of a Sefer Torah, and you'll see it ends at the bottom of a column. You cannot end in the middle. So Rav says that when you end the Sefer Torah, you can end in the middle of a column, and the Braisa says, no, you can't. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ki kamarav b'chumashim. So the Gemara says, okay, so we'll just go back to Rav and we'll reinterpret Rav. This is Tosfos' point back then. This Braisa and Rav are not necessarily at odds with one another. Rav meant by Chumash. V'ha-Sefer Torah kamar. The Gemara says, okay, but that's not what Rav said. Rav said Sefer Torah. B'chumashim shall Sefer Torah. The Gemara says, yeah. When he said Sefer Torah, he means the Chumash of a Sefer Torah, meaning it's a complete unit. But, in Achinami, he agrees with the Braisa that when you write a Sefer Torah and you get to the end of the Sefer Torah and you write the words Le'enei Kol Yisrael, it has to be on the bottom of the page.
Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. The Sefer Torah, isn't there a standard as to in each line how many words there have to be?
No.
Is there a standard?
No. There is a minhag amongst the Sofrim to each column starts with a Vav, right? The Vav Amudim.
But in terms of lines that go to the standard?
No standard. In fact, we'll see. There's a lot of room for variable, for variation. So the Gemara says, okay, but I have a halacha said to us by Rav Yeshua Bar Abba, by Rav Gidol, by Rav, right? That when you write the words Le'enei Kol Yisrael, last 3 words of the Chumash, you write it be'emsa hadaf, and we just said that Rav doesn't disagree with the Braisa, and that you have to end at the bottom, but here it says be'emsa hadaf. So the Gemara says, no, ha'i be'emsa shita, no, that just simply means the middle of the line. In other words, it has to be on the bottom of the column, but you actually end the words Le'enei Kol Yisrael in the middle of the line, noting that this is the end of the Sefer Torah. Okay. Itmar Rabbanan Amri Av Be'emtza Shita, Rav Ashi Amar Be'emtza Shita Dafka. Here the Gemara brings down a Machlok Samarayim. Le'enei Kol Yisrael, does it have to be in the center of that bottom line? Or can it also be at the end of that bottom line? So the Gemara says, that's a machlokas, ve'hilchasa be'emsa shita davka. And the Gemara over here very conclusively says, it's got to be in the middle of the bottom line. So next Simchas Torah, right, when you get When you get your Aliyah, you'll check it out and you'll see, right? Gemara Menachos, Daf Lamed, good. I'm Rav Yeshua Bar Abba, I'm Rav Gidol, I'm Rav. Okay, I told you we are going to go back and forth now between Agarata and Halacha. This next piece, which is told to us by Rav, okay, is both. It's both Agarata and it's Halacha. Shmona Psukim Shebetori Yachi Kare Osam, the Beis HaKnesset. So first we start off with Halacha. When you get to the last eight psukim of the Sefer Torah, Yachid Kore Osam Bebeis HaKnesses. Now the simple pshat of the Gemara of Rav is that an individual can read it. Meaning a person, one person can read it. Now what does that mean, one person can read it? Meaning when you read a Sefer Torah, you're not one person. You sit in a shul, you're with a minyan.
We came again ourselves.
Ah. So the way Rashi understands it is that it means that you can't break in those last eight psukim. Meaning we know that, you know, you can break, you know, there are rules. The Gemara in Megillah gives us rules, right? Not the first three psukim, not the last three psukim. An aliyah must be a minimum of three psukim. But you can break pretty much wherever you want in a Sefer Torah, right? When you get to those last eight psukim, you can't break. You got to go, once you start those last eight psukim, you got to finish. And you can't break it up into 3 and 5 and 4 and 4, and you can't do that. That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara. Okay, Yachi Korosam Ebeis HaKnesses. Okay, is there another way to understand the Gemara? Well, I mean, what kind of question is that? Yes, there's another way. Tosos over here, it's the second Tosfos on the Amud. Shmona Psukim Shepetor Yachi Kore Osam Harav Rabbeinu Meshulam Hayim Afarish Lamutish Leikrash Leich Tzibor Imo. Rabbeinu Meshulam says that when the Gemara says Yachi Kori Osam, it means one person reads it, not two. Right? In Rabbeinu Meshulam Shul, so when they read from the Sefer Torah, they had a duet.
Right. You're supposed to read it when you
quote.
You're supposed to what?
Wait one second. So you're supposed to have, right? In Rabbeinu Meshulam Shul, they had a duet. Two people standing side by side, reading from the Sefer Torah. And when you get to the last eight psukim, no duet, solo. One person reads it by himself. Now, the Rabbeinu Meshul Hayim Afarish Lamutish Lo Yikra Shlech Tzibor Ma V'Kashla Rabbeinu Tam. And when Rabbeinu Tam hears such a pshat, he says, "What? That can't be. What does that mean? There's a duet. You remember the Gemara in Megillah? You can't read the Chumash two people at a time." Let's go back to the Gemara Megillah. By the Megillah, you want two people to read the Megillah duet, by all means. You want two people to read the Chumash, the Gemara says you can't do that. So Rabbeinu Tam says, you know who's right? My grandfather, Rashi. Rashi's right when he says the pshat in the Gemara is you can't break in those last eight psukim. Now, it says, Osam Chep Sukim, Kagon Zedal, Zedal, Zehev, Zegimel. Good. Now we're going to understand something which a lot of people get called up to the Torah, they don't know. Which is that when you get called up to the Torah, you should read with the Baal Kore. Don't read it loud because the Gemara in Megillah says no duets, but you should read. Be'ikaron. You know that when you get called up for the Aliyah, you should be reading the Sefer Torah. Your Aliyah means it's your turn to read the Sefer Torah. However, not everybody is knowledgeable how to read the Sefer Torah. So, there came a point in time historically, I don't know when, where they used to get somebody to read the Sefer Torah. It's what we call the Baal Kore. Our minhag is that we get one guy to read the Sefer Torah, he's the Baal Kore. That's so we don't embarrass the person who gets the Aliyah. He doesn't know how to read the Sefer Torah. And look, even if you know how to read the Sefer Torah, you know, you got to prepare. He might not be prepared, so don't have him read. So, Likros, Ke'inyan, Shema, Sinema, Masechus, Bikurim, Sheet, Kenusha, right? Shema, Krenes, Kol, I'm sorry, Esa, Kol. We find this also by Bikurim, where not everyone knew how to read the... There's a mitzvah, when you bring your Bikurim, you have to read a section of Torah. Not everyone knows how to read. Okay, so they used to have it that there used to be a Baal Kore for your Mikra Bikurim. Same thing over here. And Rabbeinu Meshulam thinks, I don't know if I have 100% pshat in Rabbeinu Meshulam, he thinks that this side-by-side reading was done La'al Me'ad. It was done forever. How does he deal with the Gemara Megillah? That part I don't know. That's Rabbi Natam's question. But and that when our Gemara says that a Yachid's Kore, an individual reads, it means that this is a time where it's not side by side, but it's one person reading. Right. He's there. One person gets it. Anyway. Okay. So we're out of time. Tomorrow, please come back. Tomorrow we'll do the last day Pesukim of Chumash. Who's the author of the last day Pesukim of Chumash? More halachas about writing a Sefer Torah. We'll talk tomorrow about our variable writing of the Sefer Torah. Okay.